In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Louise Reed, and Sally Goodwin, as we talk about the love of God on the streets and how it's changing our nations. Hello, and another warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, in the studio today in Glasgow, Scotland, the headquarters of the Global Prophetic Alliance. I am joined by two now very familiar faces and voices, the Irish great that is Louise Reed.
Hey, Emma.
And the South African great that is Sally Gooden. How are you, Sally?
I'm very well, thank you.
Glad very to well. Have you robust and anointed ladies in the midst of us.
Very good to be here.
It is. We're glad that you're flown all the way across the oceans.
Oh, thank
or less you. Oceans and more landmass.
Oh, yeah. Landmass.
Because South Africa's straight up, same time zone.
Uh-huh. An hour ahead.
You're an hour ahead.
Mm. Oh. Yeah,
well, yes. And then 2 hours, I think, in your daylight savings time. An hour ahead in normal time and then 2 hours ahead when you go into daylight savings.
Okay. Yes. Whatever it is. Mm. Oh, we've got all of that to look forward to. Leaves falling off trees. David actually said to me, I think I'm going to need to buy a leaf blower for the garden.
Well, they're great fun.
That's how middle-aged we are.
Yeah, yeah. When you start talking about leaf blowers.
Yeah, we used to have one of those. They are great fun.
Great fun. Mm-hmm. Does it blow or does it suck?
Oh no, blows.
I think there are some. Aren't there some that suck the leaves
up? I'm sure there are, but seriously, I did not have one of those.
This is clearly the non-garden tool so people helping each other out.
The key to it is, hang on a moment.
We found an expert, Sally.
I have photographs to prove it.
You have photographs to prove that you're a gardening expert?
No, there's nothing I'm an expert, but I know how to blow leaves.
Oh, you know.
Can I just say the biggest key is don't do it on a windy day.
Right.
The voice of experience. Don't do it on a windy day.
Were you chasing these around your garden in circles? That I would have liked to have seen.
Pretty much. And you're very proud of the great big pile of leaves. And then suddenly you look out half an hour later and think, oh, yes. We're back to where we began.
There must be a spiritual lesson in that.
There must be.
I know what it is. Gathering the sheep in for harvest.
The sheep or the sheaves?
The sheep.
The sheep.
Where did you think I was?
I don't know, Emma. It's late in the day, is it not?
I think the sheep and the harvest threw you.
Yes.
The harvest
Although,
you think of.
No, I'll tell you where it took me in my little brain. One morning I looked out of our bedroom window and I kid you not, there must have been 40 sheep in our front garden.
What?
Because somebody left a gate open somewhere and the sheep had gathered in. On our pasture.
Right.
Yes.
Eating your good, nicely curated grass.
Yeah,
or Nigel's nicely curated grass.
It's beautifully cut grass.
So do you think that was like a prophetic
sign? It did feel like it.
What did you do with them?
Fed them and clothed them and taught them about Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
I made them lay down by still waters while their souls were restored. No, I hooshed them out.
You hooshed them out?
Absolutely.
Why did you do that?
Well, if you get one, they're silly. So they just follow each other.
They are silly. So I rescued a cow once that couldn't get up out of a ditch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How?
Cows are a whole different thing altogether, though.
How did you do that?
You've got to be careful
with
cows.
Not on your own, Shirley. Shirley, you must have had help.
No, it sounds very grand. I called the vet. I was up in the Scottish Highlands, so I just found the local vet and said, this cow's lying down right in front of me and won't get up. And I was going to go and hoist it.
Where were you?
I was on one of the Scottish Islands.
Yeah. Wait.
And I thought, that cow's been sitting there for an awfully long time. I bet it's stuck. And so I thought, and then I walked towards it and it didn't. And I thought, I'll hoist it up. And then I thought, that is ridiculous.
How did you hoist a cow up?
Was it unwinning rescue?
dear, were you a girl guide?
A misguided
girl guide.
No, I was in campaigners. No, this is only a couple of years ago. And then I thought, well, I'll ring the local vet.
Yeah.
Who run the local farmer.
Yeah.
Who came out with his... little 4x4, threw a rope around its neck and literally dragged it to its feet. It was stuck in a shuck and a ditch. And then the farmer came to thank me profusely because I saved him apparently hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you didn't try to hoist it.
I would have preferred to hoist it out for a wee story.
Cows can be dangerous.
I just don't think that would have ended
Do you think people die from cow attacks?
Yes, there are more people who die from cow attacks
no.
than are taken by sharks.
No.
No.
Somebody no. Google like, that. Yeah, seriously.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure in the Google Analytics, more people die from vending machines than die from cows. I'm fairly sure.
Somebody check it.
Somebody check it. This is now us talking nonsense. Let's talk the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
To go from there.
Sheep, cows.
Sheep, cows, harvest.
Vending machines.
Yes, harvesting.
Harvesting.
Yes.
Yes. Louise, you have a word yes. in the Lord.
Well,
with
I am just, I am so aware at the moment. I think we all are and we're excited about it.
Yes.
It's the end of the day, girls. Stay with it. Yes. Stay with it.
Yes.
But we are in days of harvest.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe the Lord is reworking our minds to understand, to help us understand what the harvest is, what it may or will look like, and preparing us for harvest. Yes. We can talk harvest, harvest, harvest. And I've just really been aware, the Lord spoke really powerfully to me before the summer, several months before the summer, and said, this is a summer of salvations. And it was the whole understanding of it's not just the two. We're gone past the twos and threes, which we're used to. We're used to a dribble.
Yes.
But how this, if I can use the word dribble, of salvations is turning into a mighty gush. And him talking about mass salvations. And everywhere I went for several months, I was prophesying about we are, and this was Jennifer O'Brien, another prophet, it was her word about we're in days of Elisha.
Yes.
Meaning salvation. Yes. And really, we are in a summer of salvations. And here's the thing, everywhere I went, and when I released that and decreed it, it felt like something shifted in the room and even shifted in my own heart. And it showed me that we were not in the mindset of harvest. We were still in the mind, a kind of a spiritual poverty mindset that of lack of expectation of the harvest, despite what the scripture tells
us. Isn't it funny? Because now when you say the word harvest, we kind of shrug our shoulders like old hat. We know that word. Mm. And yet, do you remember how many years it took of teaching on the ecclesia for us even to begin to pull on the thought of its reality? And the same when we were even prophesying new means new. And even still with the ecclesia and the new means new, we still say it, but I don't think we fully appropriate and apprehend the dynamic nature of what that's actually going to do. And I think the same with harvest. And as I was prepping for the Preach at Our Global Prophetic Alliance annual conference in September, there was a phrase that I wrote down, that we have got to wrestle with our own misguided expectation.
Yes.
Because we actually think of the harvest in the way that we did 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And even last night at the dinner table, you were there because you're staying with us at the house, and David and Samuel were there, and Peter was still up in the Scottish Highlands, and Jessica's in London, but the four of us were there, and we were talking about logic and dialogue and argument that draws people in, or used to draw people in, because of what we've seen happen in the States, the sense that do you come into the kingdom by logic and argument? Well, actually, very genuinely, some people do, but it's not those days anymore, because we live in a crisis and we live in a post-secular society. And once you put together post-secular, which means a spiritual alertness and a sense of the desire for the spiritual, and you live in a crisis, you're not arguing people into the kingdom. They are jumping in by signs and wonders and the desperation to find a savior.
Yes.
So the way we were brought up, where we went, we learned the case against and for Christ, and we learned the logic of the argument and
four spiritual laws.
All of that kind of way we were doing spiritual.
Yes.
Harvesting before was very liturgical and very step based and very programmed, and we
quite
had
transactional.
Yes. And we then thought, well, we'll get this sort of return on it. Once the atmosphere changes and you're in post secular, the need for logical argument disappears. And so what we did was, in the past, we taught people truth and logic, and then they had to encounter. It's actually happening the opposite. They're going to encounter the love of God, and then we're going to spend years teaching formation, discipleship, and truth.
Yes.
And so it's the order is about to dynamically flip.
Yeah. It's so already here.
It's already here. Yeah, yes. So what you're asking on the street is, do you have a healing need? Have you encountered the love of God?
Yes.
And the start point changes and the numbers change, which means our expectation has to change because the atmosphere of the nations has changed into post-secular, and therefore our mindset of expectation must change. Mm-hmm. And actually the issue right now is not the season has changed, that's happened. Not the harvest is ready, that's already there.
Yes.
But we are the stumbling blocks by the lack of expectation of the quantity of the harvest.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And can I just quote you a verse? Because this is, the Lord really highlighted this, and it's in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 6, 2. And it's where it says this, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor.
Come on.
And now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that scripture just absolutely has hit me so strongly.
Give us the reference for that.
It's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. That's a verse we should know and we should sit in. This is the favor of God and it's the day of salvation. Now, if that is your mindset, how you approach anybody, whether it be your work colleagues, whether it be your family, whether it, whatever it be, whatever situation you're in, it's a totally different mindset because you are not convincing somebody into the kingdom.
No.
See, hunger overrides logic every day of the week. Mm-hmm. There are, we are now looking at a generation, particularly the young generation, but not exclusively, where there is such great hunger. I mean, this is awakening. And if you listen in the spirit, you literally can hear the hunger and the awakening. Yes. And it does, it's not just pockets. It feels like it's across
and
the board.
Undercurrent.
Like a total
like an undercurrent.
And a rumbling of awakening and a hunger like a tummy rumbling when it's hungry. And that's what this is where the favor is. And I think as believers, we're so used to being a giving an apologetic.
Yes.
Now, it's not to say that still has its place and we still need that.
But it will come after.
Yes.
Look, this is the order of things because this is the Hebraic way. It was, God always was, let me take you by the hand and I will show you. Encounter with him, relationship first, and then truth and understanding and wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way we've got to understand. Everybody we're with who is not a believer, there's hunger. See them as hungry people. Mm. If they were physically hungry, what would you do?
Yes,
you would feed them.
Yes.
And you wouldn't be apologetic about it. And this goes back to my, guys are probably fed up and tired of me quoting it, but it's like the days of being ashamed of the gospel gone and over. Mm. We are so full of the joy. It's like, guys, you need to know him. Not a whole lot of details. Mm. The how can I be saved is not a question of explain to me how I can be saved.
Yes.
It's like show me him who can
show
save
me.
And bringing people to Jesus rather than issuing them a whole load of transactional truths is not where it's at. Mm. It's bringing people to Jesus. Mm. And that is what the body of Christ, I mean, pray for the laborers.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said.
Yes.
Our laborers need to be readied to be able to, and that's the highest priority, I believe, in the body right now, is to be able to bring people into encounter with Jesus.
When we were chatting about it earlier, we were talking about that verse about praying for the laborers, and it reminded me, at the GPA annual conference, when Kimberly McKeown?
From Calgary, Canada.
Yeah, when Kimberly was releasing her word, as she released her word, I saw these angels appear amongst the the congregation or the people congregated there. And there were enormous, enormous angels dressed in blue capes with like a hood pulled low so you couldn't see their faces. The cape went right down to the ground and they just stood like with, it looked like they had their arms folded, if mm-hmm. you know. But there were just these enormous figures in these capes. And as she released, because at one point she was saying, releasing kind of point after point like that. And as she released each point, I saw more angels appeared and there was dotted mm-hmm. all around the people there. And I said to the Lord, what are they here for? Mm. And he said, they are end time harvest angels. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, but why are they here? Mm-hmm. And he said, to help the laborers who are going to bring in the harvest. So there was this thing of mm-hmm. he's sending the end time harvest angels, not out to where the harvest is, but to the people yes. who mm-hmm. are going to be the people who need to be bringing in the uh-huh. harvest. Uh-huh. There was just this shift in kind of focus, because mm-hmm. often I think we focus on the harvest and we forget that the laborers need to be the ones who actually get to bring it in. Mm-hmm. So there was just this shift in focus. And then when you spoke about it earlier, it reminded me, wow, yes, the end time harvest angels, but they're here for us, yes. for the laborers, yes. to help us to actually bring the harvest in.
When I asked the Lord about that before our conference, to my surprise, because I was asking him about harvest angels, and I asked a strange question, but I just said, how many of them are there? Mm. And he said to me, his actual words were, they are more than the laborers are.
Wow.
Now, actually, when I said it before, I think I said more than the body of believers, but laborers in the harvest are different
yes.
than the body of believers.
Yes, yes.
Because yes. We need to be a shift yes. into being the laborers.
Yes.
But the shift in mindset, I mean, this gospel, it's power. It's mm-hmm. encounter.
Yes.
It is solution. And yes. it is the only solution. The gospel of the kingdom mm-hmm. is the only solution yes. for this earth.
Mm.
And I really believe that for as prophets, it is the Lord requires of us
absolutely.
To be those. And the way he put it to me was, you are like town criers, that you must go out and even declare to the church and mm-hmm. help them, remind them, encourage them, motivate them, release the word that salvation is here. Ring yes. that bell like a town crier to say salvation is here, healing is here, encounter is here, solution is here, deliverance is here. Until mm-hmm. the body of Christ actually believe it.
Yes. Yes.
And that's our job as prophets.
Yes. Yes.
Until mm-hmm. it is taken on and yes. believed. And I do think that we're going to see increased moves. I mean, we must prophesy it, and apostles need to get on and strategize
yes.
for it.
Yes.
To see a flood going to the streets,
yes,
not to give out and hand out tracts,
no, mm-hmm.
but to invite people yeah. into encounter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there may still be some tracts on the go. I'm not decrying that, but it is as you have said, yeah. Emma, because there is hunger and people don't even they're hungry.
I think the question is, have you ever felt the love of God?
Yes.
I think that is the soul-winning question.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Have you ever yes. felt the love of God?
Yes.
And that you can lead them in encounter right there.
Mm.
And then
it's not difficult.
It is not difficult. And then the whole sense of discipleship
yes.
and who Jesus is and what he did.
Yeah. Yes.
Bearing in mind, you are dealing with a world that is perhaps more broken, more perverse,
mm-hmm.
more devoid
yes.
of the power of the love of God.
Yes.
And this is where I feel even our previous talks that were mm-hmm. we've talked about the table and yes. how quote church is going and the direction that mm-hmm. it's going. This is so important because mm-hmm. when we think about harvest fields,
yes.
I don't know mm-hmm. what you see, but I have always seen this massive harvest, these huge mm-hmm. fields.
Yes.
And it in a sense has been almost quite overwhelming.
Yes.
Now I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing small fields.
Yes.
And I'm seeing houses in the middle of the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So the harvest is going to be brought in, and it's going to be brought in around tables.
Yes.
And this is where discipleship changes, because it's much more.
Yes.
It's I was praying this morning and I heard the Lord say something to the tune of, don't write another discipleship course. Don't write another discipleship course because this is going to be done through relationship.
Yes.
People relating together where it's much more bespoke and organic. Yes. And it's about spiritual parents bringing up spiritual children. Mm. And this is where there is room for the those who have come from very perverse lifestyles and where there's a lot of confusion over many areas of life. But there's time and there's room and there is bespoke care and discipleship rather than here's your 12-step discipleship program. And can I just say, those did. I was brought up on the Navigators 2-7. So I thank God for all of that. I really do. Yes. But I couldn't use that for, that we did in the 1980s into 2025 because it is doesn't have the quality of, it doesn't have the revelation of what we have now and the season that we're in now where people are hungry for encounter.
Mm. It's interesting. Samuel said to me, because, you know, he's leading our evangelism group here within the GPA headquarters in Glasgow. And he had walked along Glasgow, the main pedestrian precinct street, Buchanan Street, is full. It's a bit like running the gauntlet. It's full of stalls most days. And opposite, actually, Glasgow does it quite good-naturedly. So you've got the pro-Palestine, then you've got the pro-Israel, and then you've got the Islamic stall, and then you've got the Christian stall, and then you've got the, and there's a lot, there's a lot. Then you've got the Socialist Workers' Party, and then you've got the right wing, you know, whatever. And literally they all line up along the street and you get a bagpipe player or two along the way and a drummer here or there. And one of Glasgow's sweet spots is that they disagree with a kind of tolerance, which is a rare thing in some nations.
It is.
It actually really is.
Yes.
And they all sit with their little pagoda, kind of like tent pavilion things that they pop up and they give out their flyers, the length and breadth of Buchanan Street. And they do that almost every day. Yeah. There's a mass of them on Saturday and Sunday, particularly as people are. But if you want to walk peacefully down Glasgow shopping, you will get flyers thrust in your hand for this, that and the other. Then there's Mr. Balloon Man who's making children's balloons. And then there's a sand sculpture, and which my boys laugh at because it looks exactly the same every day.
Every time. So
we're not totally sure it's actually sand. But anyway, fair play to you if you can make money for, I don't know what that is. There's three dogs. It's we never actually see him make it. It's always complete.
It's always,
my boys
just
are
about
there. My boys are there every day. And Samuel said, he said I deliberately wanted to see what all their techniques was. This is because his school is city centre, so he's got time at lunch. And he walks up and down and he says, they will pounce on you if you show the slightest. Except the Christians.
Really?
And he said he walked up the other day and he said, I actually stood really close. I looked at them. They saw me. He said, I even picked up one of their, I won't tell you what he said, called their flyers, and read it with it. And he said he was spitting tacks at the end of it. He said he put their flyer down. He said not one of them came to speak to him. Isn't that mind-blowing?
That is.
But if he wanted the socialist workers or the pro or the anti-Palestine, they're on you like a hornet's nest, all of them. I know. And he said, what an appalling misunderstanding that you think you can give, that by standing there or giving somebody a flyer, that you've done due diligence.
Yes.
He said, it's not harvest, it's not even gardening.
No.
And the sense that all that needed to be said was, have you ever encountered the love of God?
Yes.
It is so, it takes the sting out of the argument.
Yes.
And he was deeply offended. Wow. I have actually no idea where they come from or what church they belong to. Yes. What does it matter? They're not doing a decent job.
Yes.
But the sense of the simplicity of what the Lord has afforded for us in allowing the secularization of society to diminish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what Flynn does. That's like his favorite thing to do is he will walk down the street and he'll see somebody with an, you know, a limp or a on a crutch or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he will stop them and say, can I pray for healing for you? Mm-hmm. And they 99% of the time will say yes. And then he will say, you know, do you know that was Jesus who healed you because he loves you? Mm-hmm. And that you see, you watch the most hardened hearts and faces melt when they think that Jesus took the time to send someone to bring healing to them because he loves them. Mm-hmm. And they feel seen mm-hmm. and by God that mm-hmm. they've previously thought of as either non-existent or very far away. And mm-hmm. it's simple. He doesn't, you know, he's not an apologetic scholar. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have long sermons. He's a man of very few words. But the words that he says are the words that
they're the words of eternal life.
Exactly.
My goodness.
Which actually is, I suppose, the point of this podcast today as we wrap up. Is it harvest? Yes. Do you already know that? Yes, you do. Mm. Are you like, oh, switch off, there's something already? No, some of you have made it the end prize to you. Mm. It's the forcing ourselves to break the traditional thoughts. Mm-hmm. Of what that does and does not mean.
Yes.
To understand the epoch that you are living in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And to not offer a logically high-formed, defined argument, because that is what political oration does. Mm. And I think we have watched and thought that moral oration or political logic oration was in some way what was required right now. No.
No.
Because that's going to introduce people to an ideology.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is not going to introduce people to Jesus.
No. It lowers the standards. It so does. Much.
Yes.
And right now, the job is to introduce people to the love of God.
Amen. Absolutely.
It's the beauty of the simplicity of that.
Yes.
But it is the challenge for us. Mm. Because if we are not living centrally in the love of God.
Yes.
And in that flow and experience of his love every day.
Yes.
As best we can, opening ourselves and living, abiding in that place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, the thing, this should be an overflow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we're not living there, then what we do is we lower the standard.
Yes.
Can I just say, you know, we have in evangelism, certainly in the background that I come from, it was always about dealing with sin.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
It is no longer firstly dealing with sin.
Yes.
You can't deal with that until you've had a revelation of his love.
Yes.
So we have to go for the
his loving kindness leads us to repentance.
Exactly. Yes. So when you're in that place of receiving the love of God, you are straight away repentant.
And this is not backing up the track from radical holiness.
Not at all.
And radical.
It's making a way for us.
Yes. It is. Or backing up the track from radical traditional interpretations of scripture. Mm. That is not what we are saying.
Not at all.
No. But you've got to know the season of God and how he is approaching things.
Yes. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We bless you into knowing the love of God yourself, that you might help appropriate it on the streets where you live. Mm. See you for another episode very soon. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.